Shalom v'brachot, peace and blessings to everyone who will be joining us today. We are in our third Sefer book of the Torah proper, Vayikra, and he called for the Hebrew year 5781. This week we have a special double portion Torah study. We just finished our 27th portion, Tazria, she conceives. This is our second Parsha, our 28th study entitled Metzorah, Afflicted One. I would like to remind you of what we have been saying since we have begun our study of this book of Vayikra. The Torah studies in this section have been, for the most part, longer and more intense than previous studies. Yet the foundation that will be laid is so integral and necessary to all who are being reintroduced to the Hebraic life and mindset Yahweh is restoring us to. Our true identity is Israel. Those of us who are a part of the returning house of Yosef Ephraim are not Jewish, but we are a part of the non-Jewish returning house of Yosef Ephraim, and yes, we are also Israel. This book of Vayikra will be a key to restoring us to our true identity, along with the house of Judah as the reunited house of Israel. I do like to make you aware each week that we do use the Orthodox Jewish Bible for our scripture references. If we do use another translation, then we will notate that for you so you will be aware. Also, so you will know, in our Parsha each week, when we quote the scripture references from the OJB, I do include, at times, definitions and commentary, because it helps add clarity and emphasis while we read, especially since the OJB does include numerous Hebrew wording and phrases. However, if you read from the OJB on your own, you won't see these. I just want you to be aware, my name is Joe Snipes, Yosef from Gates to Zion Ministries. Again, welcome, and let's go ahead and get started. In our previous Parsha, we were introduced to the manifestation of a special skin disorder known as Zaraat. This is not to be confused with the medical skin disease, most commonly referred to as leprosy, or by its medical name, Hansen's disease. The two are not the same. If we are to understand what Yahweh is showing us, both here in the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures, as well as the Messianic writings, the Ketuvim HaNotzrim, writings of the Nazarenes, then we must make that distinction. Zaraat is a supernatural manifestation of judgment upon the outer skin that originates from an inner cause. As a result, deliverance is not by being healed, but by being cleansed. The root word of Zaraat is from the Hebrew word zarah, meaning to project outward. This supernatural manifestation is most closely associated with the sin of Lashon Hara, or the evil tongue. The most noted reference to this sin and act of Yahweh's judgment is found in Numbers chapter 12. Moshe's sister Miriam engaged in this sin with her brother Aaron, while supposedly being alone in the tent. Miriam incited Aharon into this sin by using their common disdain for their brother Moshe's choice of a wife. This only provided the door for Miriam's real issue to surface, her prideful bitterness toward her brother. The impetus for their meeting was rooted in jealousy. Miriam knew better. She was considered to be a Nabiya, a prophetess, while indulging in this sinful use of the tongue. Yahweh interrupted their conversation and called all three out to the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting. After confronting Miriam and Aharon, Yahweh left. Immediately, Miriam was found to be with Zaraat. The skin of her body was covered with a whitish film. It was only after Aharon begged Moshe to plead with Yahweh on Miriam's behalf that Yahweh showed mercy. Yet she was still separated from the camp of Israel for a week. It is important to realize, while Miriam was separated from the camp, the entire camp of Israel did not move either. Beloved, sin not only affects us personally, it affects the whole body of Mashiach, citing 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26. As we saw last week, the Kohanim, the priests, the sons of Aharon, played a prominent role in how this skin affliction was handled. We see this role continued in our present parsha. However, it must be pointed out, their role was not to directly act in any way as to resolve the issue themselves. There were no incantations or occult healing arts or anything even remotely associated with the practices of the pagan priest from the Canaanite nations around them. The Kohanim, the priests, were there mainly as the source of discerning what the manifestation of the skin eruption might be. It is through their discernment that we are again brought to examine the concepts of clean and unclean. These terms have nothing to do with physical hygiene, morality, or ethics, as most Christian commentaries suggest. These terms identify a state of being, and as a result, have everything to do with Yahweh's holiness, His set-apartness. There must be a proper reverence and respect for Yahweh's Shekhinah, His manifest presence, if Israel was to korob, draw near to the Mishkan, the tabernacle, and live. Thus, we learn that Torah, in both of our parashot, our portions, introduces us to the two kingdoms existing in the realm of spirit. Each kingdom has a realm within them known as life and death. Whenever we touch life, we touch the kingdom of Yahweh. Whenever we touch death, we touch the kingdom of darkness. This is the domain of HaSatan. May his memory be blotted out forever. Last week we learned about these kingdoms and their realms. This week we will learn more clearly the process necessary to be restored to the status of life when we have intentionally or unintentionally touched the realm of death. To be unclean, or tameh in Hebrew, does not necessarily mean that we have sinned. The sin associated with being tameh or unclean is when a person attempts to enter the Shekhinah, the manifest presence of Yahweh at the Mishkan, the tabernacle, in this state or condition. The purity of Yahweh's holiness, set apartness, will consume anything where death manifests itself. Therefore, to be tahor or clean is of the utmost necessity when encountering Yahweh's pure Shekhinah manifest presence. Therefore, the Kohanim, the priest, were charged with teaching the children of Israel to learn to make the distinction between the holy and the profane. What is tahor, clean, and what is tameh, unclean? Now let's move into this week's parsha and see how Yahweh instructs the metzorah, the afflicted one, to be dealt with. Restoring the metzorah, the afflicted one. It is a fact today, because of the redemptive work of Mashiach Yeshua, our status as tahor, clean, and tameh, unclean, is directly related to our redemptive relationship with Yahweh through Him. However, to totally discount what we can learn from Yahweh's revelation of holiness, set-apartness, provided through the Sefer Book of Vayikra, Leviticus, is foolish at best. This is the era of the Church of Christendom's theology, who has discounted everything left of Matthew. However, to conclude that there is no correlation between certain chronic diseases and our violation of Yahweh's Torah instructions is dangerously unwise. We need only look into the Messianic writings, the Ketuvim HaNotzrim, the writings of the Nazarenes, and see the possibility that Yahweh may still respond with judgment upon those who violate His holiness. We cited this in our previous parsha, Tazriah, concerning the death of Hananiah, Ananias, and Shapira, Sapphira, in the Sefer, the book of Ma'asim, Acts, chapter 5. This husband and wife lied to the assembly of Mashiach gathered in Yerushalayim, or Jerusalem, concerning the price on some land that they sold. Though they lied to the assembly, Kepha, Peter, said they had in fact lied to Yahweh, their Elohim, their Mighty One, citing Maasim, Acts chapter 5 and verse 4. As a result, Cananiah, Ananias, and Sapphira, both died. Though some of the actual mechanics for restoring the Metzora, the afflicted one, may have changed from the Tanakh, the Hebrew scriptures, to the final renewed covenant, Matthew through Revelation, provided through our Adon Lord Yeshua's redemptive work, there are insights we may still glean by studying Yahweh's instructions here in Vayikra Leviticus. We must keep in mind that the point Yahweh is desirous for us to understand about his instructions in this Sefer, this book, is how to korob, draw near to him and his Shekhinah, his manifest presence, and live. We will be quoting from Vayikra Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 through 8. And Hashem, Yahweh, spoke unto Moshe, saying, this shall be the Torah HaMetzorah, the instruction of the afflicted one, in the Yom, in the day of his Tohorah, his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the Kohen, the priest. And the Kohen, the priest, shall go forth outside of the Machane, the camp, and the Kohen, the priest, shall examine, and Hine, behold, if the Negah, if the plague of Zaraat, be healed in the afflicted person, then shall the Kohen, the priest, command to take for him, that is to be cleansed, two birds alive, and telrot, clean ones, and cedar wood, and scarlet thread, and hyssop. And the Kohen, the priest, shall command that one of the birds be shakat, which is slaughtered kosher, in a clay vessel over mayim kayim, running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet thread and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the dam, in the blood of the bird that was killed, shakat, slaughtered kosher, over the mayim chayim, the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him, that is to be made tahor, clean, from the zaraat 7 times, and shall pronounce him tahor, clean, and shall release the living bird into the open field. And he that is to be made tahor, clean, shall wash his clothes, and shave off all of his hair, and wash himself in bayim, in water, that he may be tahor, clean. And after that he shall come into the machane, into the camp, and shall wait outside of his ohel, tent, for 7 days. In the above passage, we have listed for us Yahweh's instruction as to how to go about the cleansing process to restore the Metzora, the afflicted one who has recovered from Zaraat. It has to do with, number one, 2 birds, one to be put to death and the other to be set free. Number 2, cedar wood. Number 3, scarlet thread. Number 4, hyssop. And number 5, a clay vessel with fresh water. One of the Metzora, the afflicted ones, has been identified as having possibly recovered from Zaraat. Then the Kohen, the priest, goes to meet him outside the camp. Upon examining him and discerning that the Zaraat has indeed been removed, then the Metzora, the afflicted one, brings 2 clean birds to the Kohen, to the priest. One of the birds is put to death, and the blood is mixed in a clay vessel with the fresh water. This is a picture of our Mashiach Yeshua as Yahweh manifests in the flesh. He was put to death on the tree outside Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, for our sins. The Kohen priest sprinkles the Metzora, the afflicted one, 7 times for complete cleansing. Then he takes the living bird, along with the cedar wood, the scarlet thread, the hyssop, and dips the living bird into the mixture of the bloody water, citing tying the cedar wood and the scarlet thread to the bird, and then sets it free. This is a picture of our Mashiach Yeshua taking away our sins. Afterward, the Kohen, the priest, pronounces the Metzora, the afflicted one, to be clean. This one must wash his clothes, shave off all of his hair, and wash himself in water. Then he may go into the camp of Israel, but he is not allowed to enter his tent for 7 days. The 2 birds are a part of the process necessary to identify the Metzora, the afflicted one. with his uncleanness and his need of being restored to the status of being tahor or clean. The cedar wood is a picture of pride. The cedar is the tallest of trees with the deepest of roots. Pride is at the root of all sin, but especially the sin of Lashon Hara, the evil tongue. It's about putting another down in order that we may be lifted up. The cure for pride is in embracing the principle of the execution stake and humbling oneself. The scarlet thread is a picture of the blood for kapara or atonement, covering. This, of course, is pointing to the full redemption to come in the day of Mashiach's offering himself on the physical execution stake. The hyssop used to sprinkle the blood speaks of humility. Because hyssop grows close to the ground, the living water speaks of the restoration of status, having passed from death to life. The shaving of the hair speaks of new birth, the skin restored to that of a babe, innocent and pure. Restored to the community. I think it is a good idea to maybe emphasize the need for the separation of the person upon whom the Zara'at has been found. This separation comes both during the process where teshuva, repentance, is being worked out, and prior to the one cleansed of Zara'at being restored to the community. In the book of Mishlei, Proverbs, we read, from Mishlei, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, a perverse ish, a man, soweth madon, strife, dissension, and a whisperer separateth close friends. Also, Mishlei, Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 9, he that covereth a pesha, a transgression, a rebellion, seeketh love. But he that repeateth a matter separateth the best of friends. So we see the effect of the sin associated with Lashon Hara, or the evil tongue, works to bring separation in the community of Yahweh's people. Therefore, one of the disciplines Yahweh requires to bring the afflicted one with Zara'at to Teshuvah, or repentance, is they themselves are to be separated from the community for a period of time. What their sin has caused, they too must experience in order that the root of pride and bitterness be reached and cut off. There in the silence and solemnity of Yahweh's imposed separation, the Metzorah, the afflicted one, has time to reflect on what their sin has done. Yahweh, by his Haruach HaKodesh, the spirit of his holiness, has time to convict and convince the Metzorah, the afflicted one, of the terrible consequences of what their words have done. Strife and discord are an open door to the enemy of our soul, to work all manner of evil among the household of faith, citing Yaakov, James chapter 3 and verse 16. Now, for just a moment, with this in mind, think about the separation of the house of Yosef Ephraim has and is presently enduring. Has Yahweh indeed imposed separation upon his house of outcast Israelites, citing Yeshayahu, Isaiah 11, verse 12, to bring us back to our senses? By so doing, is he preparing us for the day when we will be restored to the house of our elder brother, Yehuda, Judah, and ultimately to the unity of the whole house of Israel? The Korban brought to obtain forgiveness, atonement, covering for this avon, this iniquity, is an asham or guilt offering. The asham Korban is especially given as a trespass offering when a person has wronged another intentionally. The person's economic status is considered when it comes to being able to complete the restoration process. The Torah allows for mincha, or grain, to be substituted as a korban, along with doves or pigeons if a person cannot afford a lamb. Before the actual korban is offered, the metzorah, the afflicted one, who has now been declared tahor, clean, does two things. First, he must shave off all the hair on his body. This is a picture of being born again, passing from the realm of death to the realm of life. It is also an inducement of humility to counteract what the sinfulness of pride produced in him personally and within the community of Israel. There are three areas that must be shaved. Number one, the head speaks of pride and arrogance. Number two, the beard, hiding the mouth or lips, speaks of gossip and slander. And number three, the eyebrows, speaking of jealousy. Second, he must wash, immerse himself in water. This is known as a mikvah, or washing in living waters. It is for the change in status of the metzora, the afflicted one. Once he was tamei, unclean, under the affliction of the realm of death and the kingdom of darkness. Now he is being restored to be tahor, clean, and to the realm of life in the kingdom of Yahweh. The water separates the two kingdoms and realms. The use of the mikvah may still be a strategic part of our walking before Yahweh in purity. Those of us from a church background only understand water as it is associated with baptism at conversion. It is an integral part of our conversion process and pretty much relegated to that place. However, in the Hebraic mindset, the use of a mikvah carries qualities we may experience when needed or desired. Sin has a physical residue, and even when we don't commit a sin, walking in this fallen world where the realm of death is very prevalent has a way of causing that residue to attach itself to our flesh. Using a mikvah will help us maintain a personal spirit of holiness as we walk before Yahweh on a daily basis. We see our Adon Lord Yeshua washing the feet of his Talmudim, his disciples. Brother Yehuda employs the use of the washing of hands before eating. Both uses of water are really a sort of mini mikvah or immersion. We haven't time here to do an in-depth look at the use of a mikvah or immersion. You're encouraged to study this out on your own. The term born again is a very Hebraic principle. The whole process of shaving the hair from the entire body and washing in water is a picture of this. The Metzora, the afflicted one, is changing status. Once having been separated from the community, he is now being restored to the community as though for the first time again. Once having become tamei, unclean, he is now made tahor, or clean. He had become affected by the realm of death associated with the kingdom of darkness. He is now being restored to the kingdom of Yahweh and the realm of life. Just as water is associated with physical birth, water in the womb, so water is also a part of the spiritual process too. The blood and the oil. We'll be quoting from Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 14, verses 14 through 20. And the Kohen, the priest, shall take some of the dam, the blood, of the asham, trespass offering, and the Kohen, the priest, shall put it upon the lobe of the right ear of him that is to be made tahor, or clean, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the bohen, the toe of his right foot. And the Kohen, the priest, shall take some of the log of shemen, the oil, and pour it into the palm of his own left hand. And the Kohen, the priest, shall dip his right forefinger in the shemen, in the oil, in his left hand, and shall sprinkle of the shemen, the oil, with his finger seven times before Hashem, Yahweh. And of the rest of the shemen, the oil that is in his hand, shall the Kohen, the priest, put upon the lobe of the right ear of him that is to be made tahor, clean, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the bohen, the toe of his right foot, upon the dam, the blood of the asham, or the trespass offering. And the remnant of the shemen of the oil that is in the Kohen, the priest's hand, he shall pour upon the head of him that is to be made tahor, clean. And the Kohen, the priest, shall make kapara, atonement, or covering, for him before Hashem, Yahweh. And the Kohen, the priest, shall offer the chatat, the sin offering, and make kapora, atonement, covering for him that is to be made tahor, clean, from his tumah, from his uncleanness, and afterward he shall slaughter shakat, the ola, the burnt ascending offering, and the Kohen, the priest, shall offer the ola, the burnt ascending offering, and the mincha, the grain offering, upon the mizbaach, the altar. And the Kohen, the priest, shall make kapara, atonement, or covering for him, and he shall be tahor, or clean. The metzora, the afflicted one, who is about to be restored to the Israelite community, must go through a particular process in order to do so. Notice the similarity between what is happening here and the process the Kohanim, the priests, the sons of Aharon, go through in being anointed to serve in their office, citing Vayikra, Leviticus, chapter 8, verse 24. The first thing is the offering of a lamb, as an asham, a guilt korban. Some of the blood of the korban was to be applied to the right earlobe, the right forefinger of the hand, and the big toe of the right foot. Then this was followed by the oil being poured into the left hand of the Kohen, the priest. He would dip his right forefinger into the oil and sprinkle it before Yahweh. This was followed by a little more of the oil being applied to the same areas where the blood had just been previously placed. Note, the left Hebraically is a picture of judgment. The right is a picture of mercy and strength. The left hand of the priest takes the blood and the oil, a picture of our Adon Lord Yeshua bearing the judgment of the Metzora, the afflicted one. The blood and oil are then applied to the right ear, the right hand, and the right foot, bringing restoration through Yahweh's mercy. Did you notice which came first? The blood, which was for the atonement, the covering. Then came the oil. The blood sanctified the ear, finger, and foot, which speaks of hearing, working, and going. All three areas had been affected by the sinful condition, which Lashon Hara, the evil tongue, had brought about. Then the oil, which speaks of consecration, was applied to the same three body parts, thus signifying that the Metzora, the afflicted one, should be careful to shamer, to guard these areas from future defilement. Finally, the Metzora, the afflicted one, was being anointed afresh by Yahweh through his Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, to resume his place and purpose in the local Israelite community. There is always mercies in all of Yahweh's judgment. They are meant to turn us back to himself through obedience to his Torah, his ancient paths, citing Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, chapter 6, verse 16. When that happens, he can restore us, prepare, and put us back into his will among his people. The correlation between the Mashiach and the Metzora, the afflicted one. In the Jewish traditional writings, the Talmud, there is a distinct correlation drawn between the Mashiach, when he comes, and those afflicted with Zara'at. In fact, Yeshayahu, Isaiah chapter 53, was once viewed as a messianic precursor that identified the one who would be the Mashiach. We know Rabbi Yeshua is this Mashiach. It is the unfortunate rending by the Church of Christendom of Master Yeshua, known as Jesus in most of these circles, from his true Hebraic Torah setting. This is what has muddied the waters. It has made it appear that he is either Torahless or he came to destroy the Torah, none of which is true, citing Matityahu, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. Thus, there is some ground upon which Rabbinic Judaism's antagonism against the Church of Christendom's presentation of Master Yeshua as a Torahless Messiah may be somewhat understood. Now then, citing, although their judgments are incorrect, his true Israelite heritage is that he is Jewish and never taught against the Torah. However, It is the Church of Christendom that has unwittingly set him at odds against the Torah. In Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 13, the Torah clearly instructs that any Navi, any prophet who comes among the people of Israel and seeks to lead them astray, away from the Torah, even if what they prophesy comes to pass, they are to be marked as a Navi Shecher, a false prophet. Church of Christendom is guilty of this very thing by twisting the Messianic writings, Matthew to Revelation, to insinuate he did. Of course, the truth is, Rabbi Yeshua never discounted or sought to destroy the Torah. This is why it is so important for us as the returning house of Yosef Ephraim to hold the line of truth of our Master Yeshua. He is the true Mashiach of Israel. The day is coming when our elder brother, Yehuda, Judas' eyes will be opened to their Mashiach, even as ours have been to the Torah. Their partial blindness, citing Romans chapter 11, will be removed, and they will be able to see him, even as Ephraim's partial blindness is and has been removed, and now we are able to see the importance and necessity of the Torah. As Yehuda, Judah has been faithful to keep the Torah, giving us something to return to, even so, we must return the favor. We too must continue to hold our Rebbe Yeshua as Israel's true and promised Mashiach. We have the honor of keeping the Mashiach, the Messiah, vital and viable for the whole house of Israel, especially for our elder brother, Yehuda, Judah. Woe to those who have sold our blessed Master out. They have bought the lies of the spirit of anti-Mashiach, denying he is Yahweh manifest in the flesh. There is no other way into the kingdom of the restored house of Israel than through he alone. He is the door, citing Yochanan, John 10, verse 7. All other ways, including ritual conversion to rabbinic Judaism and those who peddle them, are liars. Yochanan Aleph, 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 through 23, and chapter 5 and verse 12. In the Besorot, the Gospels of the Messianic writings, the Ketuvim HaNotzrim, writings of the Nazarenes, Yeshua the Mashiach is presented many times dealing with those who are afflicted with Zara'at. This is because those writers understood the correlation between the one who would come as the Mashiach and those afflicted with Zara'at. One of the most obvious connections along this line is found in the Besorah, the Gospel of Matityahu, Matthew. This Besorah Gospel was written especially to the house of Yehuda. We are reading from Matityahu, Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And when Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, teacher, king, the Messiah, came down from the mountain, many multitudes followed him. And an Ish Metzora, wrongly translated in many Bibles as leper, it is rightly given here in Hebrew in the OJB as an afflicted man. There was one who approached him and fell down before Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, teacher, king, the Messiah, saying, Adonainu, our master, if you choose, you can make me tahor, clean. And having stretched out his hand, Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, teacher, king, the Messiah, touched him, saying, I am willing, be made tahor, clean. And Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, teacher, king, the Messiah, says to him, see that you tell no one, but go and show yourself to the Kohen, to the priest, and offer the korban for the asham, the guilt korban, as described in our present Torah parsha, about which Moses gave mitzvah or commandment as an edut, a witness or a testimony to them. Now, if you, as any Jewish person, would in Master Yeshua's day, were familiar with the Torah, then you would recognize what was happening here. This man, who was afflicted with Zara'at, came to our Master. Why? Because it was a known fact in that day One of the ways to recognize the Mashiach, the Messiah of Israel, when he came, would be his relation to those who were afflicted with Zara'ah. If Rabbi Yeshua was truly the Mashiach, the Messiah, then he would make this Metzora, this afflicted one, Tahor, clean. What was Rabbi Yeshua's response? He accepted the man's plea for help. Then he went a step further. He touched the Metzora, the afflicted one. How could he do that? If a person touched a Metzora, an afflicted one, he would then himself become Tame, or unclean. Well, again, we need to know our Torah and do a little more investigation. In the Besorah, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 12 to 14, we have the sister passage to the one we are considering here in Matityahu, Matthew. It is there we will find a very interesting insight. It is one that a physician such as Luke would highlight. This Metzora, this afflicted one, was not your typical afflicted one with Zara'ah. Luke says that he was full of Zara'ah. Now, the Torah explains what may seem like a conundrum. A person with a little Zara'ah was to be considered Tame or unclean. However, a person who was covered with Zara'ah was considered to be Tahor or clean. Citing Vayikra, Leviticus, chapter 13, verse 13. Here was a man in whom the Zara'at had gone its full length. It was in full manifestation. And this posed a very unique condition for the Metzora, for the afflicted one. While the person was considered Tahor, clean, he still bore the outward testimony of an inward condition. It's that at present, the affliction had run its complete course. It was no longer considered Tame or unclean by the Torah. Yet, all who looked upon him knew the truth. He had failed to deal with the inner condition causing the affliction to project outward to his flesh. Tahor, clean though he may be now, he most likely would not be able to be fully accepted back into the community without some reservation. Further, though technically Tahor, clean at the moment, the Zara'at could break out again, citing Vayikra, Leviticus, chapter 13, verses 14 through 15. If that happened, then the Kohen, the priest, must be called back. He must examine the Metzora, the afflicted one, again. If the examination revealed raw flesh had begun to erupt with swelling and redness, then the Metzora, the afflicted one, must be pronounced Tame, unclean, again. The Metzora, the afflicted one, knew the process. He knew that while he was presently in a condition where he might be considered Tahor or clean, that could change in any moment. Pride is at the root of all sin. Zara'at was revealed by the red puffiness breaking out on the flesh. That puffiness was a clear indicator that pride was hidden within the heart. Zara'at was Yahweh's way of projecting what was hidden to a place of clear recognition on the skin of the body. The Metzora, the afflicted one, while being considered Tahor, clean, presently, he knew it was a precarious situation at best. He wanted more. He wanted total cleansing. If Rabbi Yeshua was the Mashiach, then he alone could give that to him. Please note how this afflicted one approached the master. He fell down before him. In Mark's account, the Metzora, the afflicted one, is said to have come kneeling down before Rabbi Yeshua, citing Mark chapter 1, verse 40. This shows the Metzora, the afflicted one, had come to realize what pride had brought upon him. He came in humility, kneeling down and crying out to Rabbi Yeshua. Our blessed master's response was clear. He saw this afflicted one's heart and gave him his request. We are told in Luke's account how pronounced the effect of Rabbi Yeshua's ministry was. We are reading Luke chapter 5 and verse 13. And having stretched out his hand, Rabbi Melech HaMashiach, teacher, king the Messiah, touched him, saying, I am willing, be made tahor, clean, and offend or immediately. The leprosy, the za'arat, see, even the OJB is not consistent in their transliteration here. Departed from him. Rabbi Yeshua then charged the metzorah, the afflicted one, who was made clean, to go to the Kohanim, to the priest. Why? To obey the very command we have been reading about in our Torah parsha. Did Rabbi Yeshua keep the Torah? This proves that he did. This was to be done first for the metzorah, the afflicted one, so he could obtain the certificate of cleansing he needed to rejoin the community. But it was also to testify to the leadership of that day. The sign of the Mashiach was being witnessed. It had been almost 700 years since a person who was a metzorah, a afflicted one, had been cleansed by another in Israel. Not since Naaman, the captain of the Syrian army, in the days of the Nabi, the prophet, Elisha, had one been cleansed of Zara'at, citing Malachim Bayit, 2 Kings chapter 5. The cleansing of a Metzorah, the afflicted one, was one of the four signs the Pharisees of our master's day and even later in Rabbinic Judaism after the destruction of the Hekal, the temple, knew that would identify the coming Mashiach. Rabbi Yeshua fulfilled them all. Number one, there was the healing of one born blind, Yochanan chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Number two, healing of one born mute, Matityahu, Matthew 9, verse 32. Number three, raising of one dead after 4 days, Yochanan, John, chapter 11. And number four, cleansing of one afflicted with Zara'at, Matityahu, Matthew, chapter 8, Mark, chapter 1, verses 40 through 42, and Luke, chapter 5. As we close, let me say the idea of Zara'at and the Metzorah, the afflicted one, may seem foreign to us. The concepts Torah teaches regarding Tahor clean and Tameh unclean as it relates to Zara'at should still be studied and internalized. We are still dealing with the two realms of life and death and their respective kingdoms. Pride, which is the root of this affliction, is still a problem for all of us. Torah defines these parameters for us. Also, as the end grows even nearer, Yahweh is culminating his eternal purpose. There will be greater and more pronounced manifestations of his Shekhinah, his manifest presence, made to and through his people, especially to those who are walking in step with him in the restoration of the whole house of Israel. It will take pure hands and a clean heart to live in those days. If we truly want the presence of Yahweh, of our mighty one, then we must be prepared to handle it. The Torah gives us just the instruction we need. An important insight from the Hebrew. Regarding the subject of the manifestation of Zara'at and the lack of such in our day, let us consider the following. The word for plague in Hebrew is spelled Nun Gimel Ayin, read right to left, and is pronounced Nega. It means a plague, blow, an infliction, stripe, stroke, or wound. This word in Hebrew is used to describe this manifestation of Zara'at as a plague, citing Vayikra, Leviticus, chapter 13, verse 2 through 6, verse 9, verse 12 through 13, verse 17, verse 20, verse 22, and verse 25, etc. Here is the interesting point. In the Hebrew, the word for touch is spelled exactly the same as plague, Nun, Gimel, Ayin, read right to left. The root is the same. However, by adjusting the vowels, it is pronounced Naga. This causes the word to mean to touch, draw near, be intimate, strike with violence, to smite or plague. When Yahweh commanded Israel to put the blood of the Pesach lamb on the doorpost and lintel of the doorway of their houses in Mizraim, Egypt, on Pesach, Passover. The word used is touch, naga, citing Shemot chapter 12, verses 22 through 23. With this understanding, let us look at Yeshayahu, Isaiah 53, where it describes the coming of Mashiach and his suffering. We read, Yeshayahu, Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he hath borne our sufferings and nasa, carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, Elohim, the Mighty One, and afflicted. The word stricken is the Hebrew word naga, nun, gimel, ayin, read right to left, which we have looked at above. While it does mean to strike, it may also mean to touch. Hold that thought. Let's look now at Ivrim, Hebrews chapter 4. We're reading Ivrim, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we do not have a Kohen Hagadol, a high priest, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in every way as we are, yet without chet or sin. It is apparent that the writer of Ivrim, Hebrews, had in mind our above verse from Yeshayahu, Isaiah. The word in Greek for sympathize is sympatheo. It means to have the same feeling for, to have compassion, literally, to be touched with the feeling of another. So here is what this verse is expressing. Our Mashiach, Messiah Yeshua, while on the physical execution stake, was being stricken with the feelings of our suffering. He was literally being touched with the feelings of our sicknesses and our weaknesses. It is for this reason, since he too has been touched, having borne these things to the physical execution stake, we may now be touched with the power of his anointing and be healed. We're quoting again Yeshayahu, Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised, me'ev avotenu, for our iniquities. The musar, the chastisement that brought us shalom, citing Yeshayahu 54, verse 10, was upon him, Mashiach, and at the cost of his, the Mashiach's kabura, the stripes, the lacerations, we are healed. Baruch Hashem Yahweh. The depth to which our blessed master drank that cup of redemption on our behalf in the garden that night. There, before he was arrested and later on the physical execution stake, his suffering for us is beyond our comprehension. He stood in our place. He took our punishment. Because of his willingness to suffer for us, die, be buried, and be raised out of deadness, we may be healed. Therefore, we are no longer the ones to bear the result of our iniquity, the Zararot, because Master Yeshua was touched, and his touch today still delivers us. Amen. The touch of the Master's hand. Having looked into the insights above, let us consider one last thing. We saw what happened when the Metzora, the afflicted one, with Zara'at, stopped Rabbi Yeshua and asked him for cleansing. We are told our blessed master touched him and he was immediately cleansed. Here's the point I want us to see. If we get this, then it will help us understand how to work with Yahweh's Haruch HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, when bringing Mashiach in the manifestation of healing to those in need. The word for touch used in this passage from Matityahu, Matthew chapter 8, verse 3, is the Greek word haptomai. It means to attach oneself to touch. Here's the important part. The word haptomai is in the reflexive sense of the Greek verb hapto. It means to touch, specifically to set on fire, to kindle a flame. In Hebrew, the phrase finger of Elohim, the Mighty One, is Etzba Elohim. This is what Yahweh used to write the 10 words on the stone tablets when Moshe was on the mountain, citing Shemot, Exodus chapter 31 and verse 18. It was the fire of his glorious presence. When our master touched the Metzorah, the afflicted one, who was full of Zaraat, Yahweh the Father reached through Master Yeshua's hand at the same time, citing Yochanan, John chapter 14 and verse 10. That touch released the fire of Yahweh's glory. The flame of Yahweh was kindled upon this man's body, and immediately the plague touch of Zaraat was removed by the fiery touch of Mashiach's hand. I remember years ago the testimony of a minister whose sister was in the ravages of a disease that was slowly taking her life. The doctors had given up and were just basically doing their best to keep her comfortable till she passed. This man had grabbed hold to the horns of the altar and was crying out to Yahweh for his sister's deliverance. As he did, he heard Yahweh, by his Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, say in his spirit, "If you'll go, I'll go." He told Abba that his sister was 2 hours away. Again, he heard Yahweh's voice in his spirit, "If you'll go, I'll go." So he packed up and made the drive. When he got there, the nurse let him in. His sister had a hospital bed placed in her home, and a private nurse was there to attend her. He made his way into his sister's room and stood silently by her bed. She was sleeping. He extended his hand to her head and began to pray. He demanded, citing Yochanan John, verses 14, 12 through 13, he demanded the sickness to leave her and commanded death to go too, in Yeshua's name. He took a seat close to her bed. Suddenly, his sister woke up and sat up in the bed. She looked at her brother and asked when he had gotten there. He told her a little while ago. Then his sister looked at him and said, "John, the most amazing thing just happened. While I was sleeping, I heard the Master. He touched me with his hand. He spoke to me and told the sickness and death to leave me. It wasn't time for me to go yet." Her brother looked at his sister and said, "Sis, that was me. I said those words when I prayed over you." She looked at him and smiled. "John, I know your voice. What I heard was not you. It was the voice of the Master. It was the most beautiful sound I have ever heard. Immediately, I woke up. I know I am healed. I know it in the depth of my heart." That's when he was reminded again of what Yahweh had told him in his spirit before he made the trip. "I'll go if you'll go." The minister's sister was healed. Beloved, it is our Master Yeshua who heals, not us. If we will believe when we pray for others, through the power of the anointing and gifts of Yahweh through His Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, then our Master Yeshua will extend His hand through us. His hand will kindle the fire of Yahweh's anointing. Sickness will let go. Death will be driven out. It's not us. It's our trusting faithfulness in the promise of our Master Yeshua. Quoting Yochanan, John, chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works," and just for emphasis, "greater in quantity, not in quality, than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask," literally, to demand as something due, we don't demand of Yahweh. We do demand from HaSatan, may his memory be blotted out forever, in the name of Yeshua, he will do the work through us, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Beloved, we need the immersion of Yahweh into his Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, today. There are many who have come into this restoration of the whole house of Israel from within the Church of Christendom. In many cases, their denomination may not believe in the manifestation of Yahweh's power through His people. Then there are those, like myself, who did come out from churches who did believe and accept the manifestation of Yahweh's power. Both groups need adjustment. The former need to leave the unbelief of their denominations behind They need to realize this is a new day. We are Israel. The manifestation of Yahweh's power is His will and purpose for all of Israel. It has always been Yahweh's will to manifest Himself in and through His people, Israel, by His Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness. The only reason the church has been allowed to have the manifestation of Yahweh through His Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, is much of the scattered house of Yosef Ephraim has been in those churches. However, because Ephraim as a whole is in essence scattered outside of Israel and is not submitted to Yahweh and His Torah, you have a wide disparity of responses. Either the one group rejects the manifestations of Yahweh through His Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, while the other group has excess and error. The latter group needs to learn afresh how to submit themselves to the principle of the execution stake, to die to themselves, their self-willed independent spirit, and wait on Yahweh to clearly show His will in each given situation. We can do nothing from within ourselves. Power belongs to the Mighty One, Yahweh, citing Tehillim, Psalm 62 and verse 11. This power is not a thing. It is Mashiach Himself, manifesting in us by Yahweh's Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, citing Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, and 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. We need to learn how to work with Yahweh and His Haruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of His Holiness, so that He alone may be glorified in His Son working in us. Amen. We need to experience His mighty hand reaching through us as we touch the afflicted. His touch, Mashiach in us, will kindle the flame of Yahweh's presence and drive the darkness of disease and death out. It is time to believe Yahweh, citing Yochanan, John 6:29. This is the work of Yahweh. Believe and stop limiting the Holy One of Israel, citing Tehillim, Psalm 78, verse 41. Amen. We say the following blessing as we continue each week's study of the Torah, Chazak u Baruch, strength and blessing.